Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey now, everybody, welcome to episode 296 of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. I'm Trevor Anderson, send you over to Jason Rugard. He's got a rundown for us.
Yeah, we're back to our regular show tonight on our new format where we'll be switching off from a regular podcast to a retrospective every other week, or pretty routinely there for out. But anyways, tonight we got trivia. A trivia guided towards you guys tonight, because my trivia was off. Trevor punched some holes in my trivia, so I don't know what we're doing for trivia, but we do have a lot of news, reviews, and trailers. We have a lot of trailers tonight, including Get a Job, Hardcore Henry, also Criminal, and reviews for The Witch, Fire City, Mom's Night Out. Mom's Night Out? Eh, Trevor's Night In with Mom's Night Out, huh? I like it. So, also got The Martian, The Walk. Oh, you watched The Walk without me, huh? How dare you?
Without you?
I thought you would have told me you watched this before.
I didn't know I was supposed to wait for you.
You were. I wanted to see it first. I've been talking about it for about a year. You beat me on that one. But we'll get to this now. Let's jump into the trivia. And the trivia that I couldn't get off the ground here, my initial question was going to be, which of these actors has never portrayed a police officer? Will Smith, Robert De Niro, Tom Cruise, or Robert Downey Jr.? Now, you said initially Robert Downey Jr., correct?
That would have been my guess, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of the bait question here, because everyone forgets that he played a U.S. Marshal in the film titled U.S. Marshals, because it wasn't that memorable. He owned the film. But it really, I thought, was going to be Cruise until I forgot that he was a cop in Minority Report.
Yeah, it's kind of the whole point of Minority Report. Right.
I guess because it was futuristic and whatnot, I used to associate him with being like a, you know, a modern day cop or something like that. But that led us to the conversation, and I want to throw it out there to you guys, and I propose this: what modern major movie star actress?
Now you preface it with major, because I had a couple of them, but he shot me down. I said they weren't stars.
All right, hold on. Let me get it out there.
So put this out.
I'm saying top 25 actors, actresses. They've all been a fucking cop at some point in their career. And if you can beat me on this, if you can best me on this, please go to our Facebook page.
Don't
put your trivia answer out there, because or your answer to this, because
just so, came so, up with so everyone names. Knows where Jason's at. Tobey Maguire and Natalie Portman are not stars.
I don't consider them stars.
So if you happen to get a person who has never been a cop, they won't be a star. So just forget it.
First of all, Tobey Maguire is a fucking joke. Even as Spider-Man. Like, come on, this is ridiculous. He's the uncool Jake Gyllenhaal. Second, and this is the most important one, is the way that you told me Natalie Portman, her qualifications for being a star were, she was in Star Wars and she's got a fucking Oscar. But like, number one was that she was in Star Wars.
Which you think would clinch it, you know?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is just too much fun. So I can't think of anybody, though, like major star-wise, who has not played a cop at some point in their career. Maybe you can get me, but I can't. And I don't consider your your nominations for shit.
Cameron Diaz.
Oh, man. I mean, does Charlie's Angels count? I mean, is that a cop?
Oh, shit, that's true.
I mean, what is that?
Were they cops? That's close enough. I think that's close enough. Yeah. All right. So she's down.
She's been down.
Yes, it's a hard day to get them. Yeah, it's hard to get one.
It just goes to show you there's a lot of movies about cops. A lot.
Yeah, that is true.
Most movies, shit. Speaking of cop movies, looks like we're going to get another Bad Boys, which is something great, but also not that great, because it's too long in the making, in my opinion. Joe Carnahan sketched out a little pre-vis and had a scene from, looks like a highway freeway chase on his Twitter page. It went viral, and Will Smith acknowledged it and said they are going to do a third chapter. But they've waited so long now, even longer than the space between the first and second installment. And has it passed? I mean, number two is one of my, maybe one of yours as well, as favorite movies. And has the time passed for it to be good?
We'll just have to wait and see, right? I mean, this is it has been so long. I don't know how time will change what we knew as Bad Boys. Because definitely, you know, I don't know. Those are old Michael Bay movies. And that's what they are, right? So it's weird to get something that's new and not Michael Bay.
And will the shtick be worn by then? You know, the Will Smith being ultra cool at this point, he's pushing, you know, a certain age.
But he's got to be, yeah, he can't do the, he can't be normal Will Smith that he is today, right? Or else they'll have, but again, maybe they can deal with that in some way. But you're right. I mean, a lot of the fun of the old ones was that these guys were a little bit younger and they were kind of tripping over themselves a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't know if they can retain that. And the second one is played constantly on TNT lately. I don't know if you've seen this. It's like last year, it's like every weekend it's been on TNT. But this is in rotation quite a bit. People are familiar with these characters. There's still potential for a hit. Joe Carnahan is behind this. The guy that was behind, I think, the somewhat unfairly judged A-Team retread. I didn't think it was as bad as people said.
It was all right.
Yeah, exactly. It was all right. And Smoke and Aces, I feel the same way. I think Narc
I like
was
Smoke
most,
and Aces.
I think Narc, though, was his most promising film on the whole. Did you catch that one?
I guess. Yeah, I mean, I saw it back. There was a bunch. That came out at the same time as a bunch of gritty cop stuff. So, I don't know.
Well, also sequel-wise, we're talking Mel Brooks announcing that there will be a Spaceballs 2, which isn't surprising, judging the fact that they're going to lampoon The Force Awakens, presumably. But the surprising fact is that Mel Brooks is still alive.
Isn't it going to be like... I mean, how is this going to be good, is my question. This is just going to be too silly, right?
I don't think spoofs play that well anymore. I don't know.
I haven't
seen a good spoof in a long time.
Yeah, me as well. I mean, obviously, you know, Marlon's Wayans is still making them, but...
Yeah, those are tanking even harder than before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that Mr. Black one or whatever, that was the name of the last one, Mr. Black, wasn't it?
50 Shades of Black.
50 Shades of Black. Looks terrible. So I would imagine that Mel Brooks in this day and age just would not, you know, translate very well. Back in his heyday, you know, yeah, these were great movies, but I don't know. They're just spoof movies really aren't movies anymore. You know, they're like a little fun little thing.
They're YouTube
clips.
They're
not even events. Yeah, they are. That's a good way of putting it. They're very small. I don't know. I think the last great one I saw would be Scary Movie 2.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And some would even say Scary Movie 1 would even go that further, but I'm a big fan of Scary Movie 2.
Sure, but I mean, that was the last one I was saying.
The Wayans brothers really had a hard time recently. The Haunted movie did okay. I thought it was fairly amusing for what it was, but they were getting to the point to like bad Leslie Nielsen ones, you know, like Wrongfully Accused and Mr. Goo, you know, like the bad run of ones he did. However, there is one coming out called Meet the Blacks that is looks like it's spoofing The Purge, and it had a really strange trailer. I caught it when I saw The Witch this weekend. Mike Epps stars in it, and it looks like it should be coming out directly on like Lionsgate DVD, but they're giving it I believe it's Lionsgate is giving it a theatrical release. So you got to check the trailer out on that. We'll talk about it in the next show. But
that sounds like a Lionsgate release.
Talk about it bad. I mean, it's insulting. It's so bad. All right. What else we got here? Lethal Weapon coming to the television screen. Do we need the Lethal Weapon show? We're getting the Rush Hour show. Do we need the Lethal Weapon show?
Not really. I mean, unless these are going to be really good, but you just doubt it. You know, I imagine a lot of this stuff's going to just disappear. Don't you? I can't imagine in 3 years there's a Lethal Weapon TV show still on.
Lethal Weapon is going to star Damon Wayans Jr. in the Danny Glover role. They haven't said he's going to play the Mel Gibson role. It's kind of the key bit of casting.
Junior or senior?
I'm sorry, senior. I'm so used to saying junior now, but though this is the original, the Major Payne.
Yeah.
Good casting there, but like you said, memorable show? Probably not. Probably not. And even if it's a good show, can't it be its own thing? Does it have to be a Lethal Weapon situation?
I know. I would rather have it be something different because what? I don't know. The movies were the movies. Why make a TV show out of it? And it's going to have to be like, I don't even know what the fuck it would have to be, right? In order to survive.
In a way, I understand what Rush Hour is. Just saying the name, I get that it's
yeah,
like.
Yeah, and it's those movies were cheesy enough, you know, but Lethal Weapon movies were halfway real.
Very, very violent.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Of
I
their
know.
Time.
Like
too.
Rush Hour is more fun and kind of goofy and stuff. So I can kind of understand parlaying that into a TV show. But Lethal Weapon was pretty... That dude was going to fucking suicidal and shit, you know?
Yeah, very suicidal. And racist, homophobic, all sorts of stuff. Apparently, the actor behind this situation.
Of course, you're speaking of Damon Wayans Sr.
Is that like, yeah, right? No, so this show, if it has any chance at all, I mean, a pilot will be interesting, but they're having trouble with keeping anything on the air for very long. I mean, they just failed recently with the Minority Report show. There's been a lot of crossover television shows that aren't working, and I think at least it's not another superhero show. I guess that's the only positive.
Well, I guess TV's eaten, you know, from the same bowl as movies lately, and they've kind of you just run out of stuff to do, and the fact, you know, just making something to make it isn't a good idea. You know,
well, they did that with Point Break, and that's just been, that was horrific.
They've done with a lot of stuff. You know, I mean, we just talked about the A-Team, and really that was that movie's whole problem. It was that it just existed just to exist, just to make an A-Team movie, but that's a horrible reason to make an A-Team movie. And to be fair, this is the same exact way I feel about Star Wars. So it goes from the top to the bottom, you know, they're just making movies to make movies.
Well, they, speaking of making movies, they're going to make at least three more Transformers movies.
Holy
going
shit.
Forward until 2000.
And Michael Bay will be directing them all.
Probably. It's for his sins, apparently. He got locked into child purgatory.
He's
child
like, purgatory. Yeah. Yeah, he has to just keep making Transformers movies.
And Bumblebee, which is a very popular character in a lot of the films, is going to get his own spinoff in 2018. So this universe is expanding. We heard them talking about the writer's room situation where they were coming up with brainstorming ideas to further the franchise in different ways. This is the fruition of that. Do we like this? Wow. Are we against this?
It's original. Who ever would have seen this coming? I mean, I think that if it had been WitWiki that had been spun off, it would have been far more. What? Wow.
I'd rather see the parents go on like a vacation.
That's what I'm saying. They should spin off like the human characters, but just no Transformers. It should just be Shia LaBeouf just fucking out there, you know?
He is fucking out there. You hear about his latest little antics?
Yeah. The elevator thing or whatever?
Slapping people in elevators?
Ooh.
I swear to God. Let me hunt down Shia LaBeouf. Oh, shithead. All right. I think he's hanging out with Cat Williams somewhere.
Oh, boy. They're just slapping each other then.
They just headbutt each other like little fucking billy goats. All right. Next, we got Fast 8. And I know you were all excited to get the Fast and Furious movies going.
So excited. 8, 9, and 10. Oh, boy. Double digits.
10 will be out in 2021, which will come out a full 20 years after the original.
You know, at least James Bond's didn't number themselves, because it gets ridiculous after a while, doesn't it?
No, they're throwing you off. They're calling this one Fast 8.
The other one was Furious 7. It has a number.
What happened to Fast 5? Furious 6? I mean,
yeah.
They're acting like these are innovative titles, and this is going to take place in New York, or at least part of it will take place in New York from the teaser poster. But we didn't know until this week was that Charlize Theron is being lined up to be the villain character in this movie, presumably a relative of Jason Statham's character, and a hot relative, apparently.
She's a relative? Like, because he's a relative, right?
Right.
I guess it's all tree. Relative. Yeah, I know. The bad guys were just going through all of them. It's going through that whole family.
We got some lineage problems here with this writing. I mean, the amount of storyboarding to keep the fucking plot line straight in this thing must be, you know, off the...
There's no storyboarding happening here.
Well, at least they're free to move forward now. They're not tied to any of the previous mythologies. So this one might be interesting to see how they're reestablished.
Well, I think they fly in this one. I mean, what else do they do?
Oh, they've been flying. I just think that this time they're
no, this time they're wearing capes and whatnot. I believe they've just gone for it, right? They just fly around the city.
It's going to get to that point because these are huge movies. I mean, this movie was one of the highest. I think it still is the highest grossing American film ever in China. So they play very, very well across seas. And it's due to the fact that this shit sells internationally because there's not a lot of words. I mean, they can easily dub this in a lot of action and people understand the fact they're driving a fast car and how crazy that can be. And how throwing it out of a fucking airplane.
I don't think people understand that.
I mean, understand how crazy it can be with a car.
That's I'm glad that's where you put the foreigners. That's their level. That's where they're safe at. You know?
Hey, y'all out there, you understand the fucking velocity of this car?
Everyone in China's like, oh, very fast. Oh.
Oh, man. But they have been made Monster Hunt. or not Monster Hunter, the Mermaid movie, the highest grossing film ever. I mean, it's like $430 million over. That's a massive amount of money.
But they have a lot of, I mean, if you look at their box office, it's speckled with their own films as well that do just as much as, and actually most of the big ones have been recent.
Yeah, they are spending a lot of money over that. That's why we are pandering to them quite a bit in what we're making. In the fact of location, characters, and things like that.
Which is fine. They got some nice cities over there. So they actually have a lot of those ghost cities over there. So that'd be cool. Maybe people should go over there and use some of those empty cities.
Yeah, maybe North Korea next.
Yeah, I don't think North Korea so much. But...
No, why not? No food.
China's a good-looking country. You can do lots of shooting over there.
Have you ever seen a North Korean bodybuilder? Didn't think so. No fucking food. All right, moving on. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Just muse on that for a second. We'll come back with reviews for The Witch and Fire City.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAMB Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
You are about to witness history in the making.
Hi there, this is Todd from Forgotten Films, and if you spend all your time watching new releases, then you need to broaden your movie horizons. And a great way to do that is by joining me for the Forgotten Filmcast. We don't talk about the new releases, we don't even talk about the classics. We talk about the movies that time forgot. On each episode, I'm joined by another film blogger to discuss a film that may or may not be worth rediscovering. So look for the Forgotten Filmcast on iTunes, Podomatic, and wherever you find great podcasts.
I bet they're talking about a Tobey Maguire movie.
Exactly. The man is not a star.
Well, MTV Movie Awards says differently.
Oh, man. This is going to be good. I want to know if anyone can out there can really...
I do like... I do like his fake trailer, though, in the Ben Stiller movie. Well, what is that?
Tropic
Thunder, yeah.
He did almost. He recently. That's Elijah Wood. God, I got them too confused.
Oh no, those. Oh, that's the same person.
Damn near, right? You agree? And Elijah Wood's not a star.
He's not.
He is. Does Elijah Wood?
He's
open
a Hobbit.
That does. People don't go see that because he's in it.
No, people don't go see a lot of movies because people are in it.
People didn't go see Pawn Sacrifice at all because it didn't open. And that's your boy Maguire.
That was a chess movie. I mean, who would have been in Pawn Sacrifice and would have opened it? Nobody. No one was. He's playing chess with his fucking shirt off.
That fucker would have opened.
It would have. Because I probably would have gone and seen that. Like, Channing Tatum's playing chess? Holy shit.
Well, no, people are like, no, he can't play chess. He's not smart enough to play fucking chess.
I know. I gotta see this. He must act his ass off.
They misunderstood. They thought he was playing chess, like with his chest, but it's actually chess.
All right.
Moving on. I saw The Witch. I did. I saw The Witch.
So where'd you see her at?
I used to see her all the time.
Woo.
But no, now I saw it at the movie theater and I wasn't impressed. I told you this opening night. I saw it the
reviews.
Night.
All the reviews have been stellar for this.
Audience reaction has agreed with me, though. Split very evenly. C-minus cinema score. There's a major backlash if you're reading any of the Cinema Blend stuff or articles on Slash about it not being scary. And it's not that it's not scary. It's just it's just not involving in any level. There's nothing here, and what's happening is extremely telegraphed. That's another problem with this movie. I think it's being very clever when it's broadcasting to you where it's going the whole time. And it gets there very slowly, and it wants to be complimented for, breaking new ground when it really hasn't done anything special at all. It's like a Terrence Malick movie with a little bit of possession thrown in, but it's a lot more about being faithless. So
well, that doesn't sound good at all.
There you go.
Aren't they like Puritans or something?
They're exiled Puritans for having lost their faith.
Right.
So, and like I said, it's a lot of as it should be, but it's, you know, very hard to understand with old English speaking and, you know,
ye art the witch.
Oh, yeah. Speak low evil out of thou mouth. And, you know, things, it's like,
I don't know. That's the scary part.
It was not evolving in any way. Some images are pretty well done that are going to be haunting to some people, but I don't know. I can't imagine that this has any sort of life out there. I'm surprised it opened up as well as it did. You can see why A24.
I'm surprised it got, because it was weird, but good weird. I mean, you're saying it's not good, but you know, that's A24. You know,
it has a lot of the problems that A24 movies have, and the fact that they start off very good and they got a good concept, but then they fall apart. They never can really deliver. You know what I mean? They make for great trailers.
Yeah. I don't know. We both did like the trailer to this, but it didn't really instill. Even reading the good reviews, I had no itch to go watch The Witch, you know?
I just wanted to see something artsy. And if this is what an artsy horror film is, I can handle it, but
you don't want to.
Well, it's not like it's Abel Ferreira or some like Jim Jarmusch or some weirdo that's out there to punish you. It's not like that. It thinks it's being a lot smarter when it the whole time it's telling you where it's going. So I want you to see it just when we can talk about this further.
Well, yeah, well, whenever it comes out on Netflix.
I recommended Fire City to you a while back, and you caught up with it, right?
I did. Fire City, End of Days.
What'd you think?
This is an interesting movie. I think it had some problems of its own, but still a pretty interesting movie.
This is about the demons living in the building, and there's kind of a demon cop who keeps the humans and the demons separated. He doesn't appear as a demon to humans, but of course he does to the fellow demons. And this makeup effect in this was really good. And I like the guy who played the lead character, like the kind of grizzled film noir aspect of this in a way. He kind of didn't want the job, but he's got to do it reluctantly and keep these kids away from him. And
he doesn't keep the kids away. I mean, to be fair, he brings people for the demons to eat. He's a drug dealer, right? He's basically a drug dealer, attracts the people who are, well, drug addicts. And the demons, when they kill people and eat them, they want to scare. They want to live off the fear and then the torment of the torture and stuff. And that's kind of where they get their meal from. But they also physically eat them as well. So he delivers people to them. They live in the basement of this building. And that way they stay in there. You know, they don't go out and do things. This is like the civilized way for demons to live, I guess.
Right. True blood in a way.
And then somehow something gets unleashed, some sort of a virus type thing, I guess you would say, or at least they think it is. And it infects the people and it makes them all happy and stuff. Now the demons don't have anything to eat. And so this guy has to try to figure out a way to fix that, I guess, so that the demons, right, don't go crazy and just start killing everybody. And they have a way of dealing with or surviving. But it's a weird movie in the sense that a lot of things happen in it, but it glosses over things. Like stuff doesn't really have meaning, or it doesn't explain things out to you the way that it should, if that makes sense. Especially at the end of the movie, I thought it was really bad when he sifts through the ashes. I'm trying not to give it away, but you know, he sifts through the ashes and he finds the reveal. But it's never, you're not really walked through it. It just kind of just all of a sudden, it's just different, right? It'll just take a 90 degree turn just all of a sudden. And you're just supposed to be just going along with it. And a lot of the real reveals I thought were like that in this.
This movie is, you're either going to go along with it from the jump or not. This is that kind of a movie. It's so odd. Just listen to what you're saying here.
They don't put a lot of glue into this. You know, they just kind of push through it.
I mean, if you think about what's going on here, it's a movie where it's against humans being happy. When the world goes into happiness, things are fucked for him.
Well,
you know?
Not really. Yeah. Yeah. And I agree, but not really.
I did think that the makeup effects were really good for this. It was kind of not comical at times, but it had a sense of humor about it too.
Yeah, it definitely did. I thought it was it's a bit on the cheap side, you know, here and there. So.
A single location you're talking about?
That, I mean, some of the photography is a little cheap as well looking. I mean, you could tell that when they were rushed on set certain times, and certain locations were a little rinky dinky. But when they did have time, when they did set things up right, it does look good.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you watched it, though. Worth the watch, right?
Yeah, I think so. It's on whatever Amazon right now, so Amazon Prime, you can watch for free.
Mom's Night Out. What, first of all, how did this come about? Before we get into the review, how did this come about?
How did this come about? Watch? This yeah. was just on my Netflix queue, and they decided to send me this and that Alexander's horrible whatever thing instead of anything worth a damn.
Hmm. All right. Let's get into it. How was Mom's Night Out?
This is surprisingly good.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I thought so as well, because I was, you know, the thing about it, I was really worried when I popped it in, and then I realized this is a faith-based film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was like, oh, gosh. Luckily, there's only about two or three moments where they kind of sit down and be like, you know, God is with you and whatever.
Look, I have no problem with that kind of stuff, but when it's thrown in your face like Left Behind was, then it's just
It's not done that in this movie. I know. It happens in here, and you realize, okay, this is that moment because it's one of those movies, but it's done in such a way where it's not, you know, it's that part of the movie. They would be saying this shit anyways. They just wouldn't say God, but they say God in this because it's that kind of a movie. So it's natural. And I kind of liked it. It's kind of funny. It's good family movie. And you know, the God stuff's not overbearing. So
you actually give it a positive review. So
I know I do. I was surprised. Nope. I was surprised to like it as much as I did. I mean, it's not worth anything, but you know, a Netflix watch.
Was it better than Alexander?
No, they were about the same, I would say. I actually really liked the Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day as well, and I expected that this was going to be a giant piece of crap, and it wasn't.
Man, you were stoked.
It was actually kind of funny. After all was said and done, I was like, damn, I feel bad that I was drudging, looking forward to or drudging watching these things. But they were actually turned out to be pretty sweet, just nice little family movies that were kind of funny here and there, you know? Not bad. I thought they were going to be terrible.
I mean, I understand. I went and saw, like I said, The Witch this week. And I came home and I had to like watch something light. I put on the fucking Black Cauldron. So I watched an animated movie, Disney animated movie afterwards just to get back in the right frame of mind.
Yeah,
so.
I like all kinds of movies. You know, I'm not trying to pick one over the other. But there are those movies, and both of these would be those where you look at them and you think, God, there's no way I'm going to like that. But I was pleasantly surprised by both.
I saw an old movie this week I want to talk about called Crossroads, a 1986 Walter Hill movie with
Britney Spears.
That's the good one. Zoe Saldana.
Oof.
The Zoe Saldana movie?
Right, the Britney Spears movie.
Yeah. No, this is the Ralph Macchio one where it's about Robert Johnson and the famous blues player and this kid who is obsessed with finding Robert Johnson's mentor or friend, this old man who is in a mental hospital in New York. He hunts him down, helps the old man escape. They go back, start hoboing around, which is an actual term I didn't even know, hoboing, jumping on the trains.
Sure.
Riding the rails.
I hoboed around plenty.
You had a hobo, dude. I took that care of that as an ointment for that.
Yeah. Got your stick and your...
And my hobo, my vagabond, and my white man blues.
You're sticking
Anyways, this
your
movie is peculiar as all hell and ends up with Macchio playing guitar against another guitarist who is the devil's minion for possession of his soul and the old man's soul. If that sounds at all intriguing to you, check out Crossroads, which has some great music by Ry Cooder, the blues musician who scored all of Walter Hill's movies. And the music, Macchio's performance, and just the sheer weirdness of it, I kind of give it a moderate recommendation. But especially if you're into music at all, if you're a guitarist or a blues aficionado, definitely check it out. But just for a passing interest, it's on Crackle right now. That's where I caught it. And
that's Walter, free.
Yeah, and I'm a.
Does he crane kick?
No, but he hits a key with his guitar, and it looks like it's been practiced. He looks like he's been practicing. And Macchio is basically playing a Karate Kid character here, but instead of Miyagi, he's got a older black man he's following around as a musical mentor. And Macchio does a good job of looking like he's studying something very hard, you know, whether it be karate or the guitar or something. He has that kind of look that he's taking it all very seriously. No matter how fucking outlandish the situation. So I got to give him credit because this could have been.
Is that just a dumbfounded look?
I don't know. No, it's not. It's not like the Ashton Kutcher deal. It's like a. It's kind of like an innocent intentness. So.
Huh.
I enjoyed parts of this movie, but I can't fully recommend it. But check it out on Crackle.
Sounds
which
odd.
Is a great app. If you don't have Crackle out there, you're fucking up.
Crackle's available on pretty much anything. So.
Yeah, it's free and it shows movies. It has a couple advertisements here and there, but it does show them. In their unedited glory, so
I like all the rated R Jerry stuff. Seinfeld show on there. The comedians in cars getting coffee, pretty good.
As well as the Tick.
Oh, they got the Tick on there. Mm-hmm. He's the Tick.
All right, what else you got here? You got the Walk. How is the Walk?
I saw the Walk finally. really? I want to tell you it's good, but it really ain't.
Not good at all.
She's a slow burn, man. Not until you get halfway through it does it actually get, you know, pretty good. But it's just so underwhelming.
What happened?
It's just underwhelming. It's just not, it's not very
that
exciting.
Story has been, this is the story of the guy who walked across the towers.
Great. This is not so great. You know, it's a little bit bland, I would say. Like I say, until they get halfway through, until they finally get to doing stuff, actually starting to... the planning stage is a little boring, but once they get into the towers and they're going to actually do it, that's good. But I don't know. I think that, I mean, the documentary was just, must have been better.
The documentary is fantastic.
Man, I haven't seen the documentary. Yeah. Everyone says it's great. But if the documentary is anything like this, then I would say you're all fucking nuts. So that can't be true. It has to be just this movie is a little bit underwhelming.
Is Gordon Levitt as bad as they said? Because he was, you know, being chided as this being a Saturday Night Live parody.
Yeah, it is pretty bad. I mean, the French, it's the accent is the thing that's just, it throws you for a loop. And it's so heavy and thick that it doesn't even sound like him. It's kind of weird and off-putting.
But to be fair, the character was French.
Yeah, I know. I'm not knocking the movie. It's just, that's just how it feels when you watch it. And that's the read you get on it. It doesn't feel natural. And as I say, it's a stretch for a movie, man. I mean, it's too long. The setup is too much. And they go through this whole period of trying to get these characters, you know, and more people, we need to get like someone else in on this. And you think, why do you need anybody else to do this? And they don't really do a good job of explaining why they need the crew or really who the crew is. They just kind of pick these oddballs up and these guys kind of don't really do. There's no training for them. You know, there's not much. There's too much backstory for his actual character. There's too much time spent in France before he's even really thinking about Two Towers.
You're not recommending it, I take it.
It's okay. I mean, if you want to see the movie version of this, then you know you just get to watch it. But I really think Zemeckis has seen better days at this point.
So technically, it didn't thrill you either, special effects wise.
Nah. I mean, nothing you haven't seen before. Quite honestly, and it's not shot in such a way. I don't know. Yeah, it's really not shot in such a way that you feel the danger. So I don't know. Maybe other people got something else out of it. I don't think so. This really didn't make much of a splash.
Let's talk about The Martian, because The Martian made a big splash.
Yeah,
except for a ton of Oscars. I gave it a mediocre review.
You didn't put it on your top 10, and I was like, this is crazy. And then I watched it, and I realized, yeah, this movie just kind of just exists.
It's just mediocre, right?
It's a huge letdown. Yeah, it's just, you know. And the problem is I started reading this book, too, before, because I want to read the book before I watch this, and the book's boring as fuck. So I don't know what people were going crazy over the book for. And I think this movie is just about as boring as well. I mean, where's the fun, even? There's not a lot of fun in this. There's not a lot of upswing, you know, or downswing. It just kind of sits, you know, and shit just kind of happens and doesn't really do a good job of taking you on that roller coaster ride.
I had the problem of that. I thought that it was harder, like I said, for Hanks to get off the island than it was for this guy to get off Mars.
Well, and he didn't really go through a lot. You know, that's what I'm saying as well. Like when he grew the potatoes and stuff, it was just kind of like, oh, wow, he grew some potatoes. You know, like where's the roller coaster here in this, you know?
I don't know. Hated the disco soundtrack.
Yeah, I know. That did nothing for me as well.
Hated it.
Which was unfortunate because the music it should have been something that worked really well. I will say, I mean, this is Ridley Scott. The one thing I thought about watching this was like, I was just thinking, God, you know, Prometheus had more of a roller coaster, an upswing, downswing,
way better.
More characters involvements. You really actually kind of started, for me anyways, feeling for some of the characters and kind of getting involved in what was going on. And to me, The Martian kind of played out more like Kingdom of Heaven, Ridley Scott, where shit's just kind of like happening and maybe there's too much to be told and he's not doing a very good job of handling all of it.
I also didn't think Damon was that great. I thought he was good.
He's not. No, he's not. But he's not given anything. Right? I mean, that was. I would have to argue that he's not. There's not enough focus on him. I mean, when there is something happening that you really should be focused on him, they cut away to other people, you know, talking to him and getting those transmissions. And it's like, I'm on the wrong side of this. You know, I don't really need to see their reaction to reading something and then, oh, they think he's funny because he wrote something funny to them. Like, the fuck? Are you kidding me?
I just thought there was a lack of energy in the film and a lack of urgency in the character.
Huge lack.
Just transferred.
You never felt that he was going to die, did you? I never thought.
No, never felt he was in danger.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I was let down quite a bit.
I'm glad I wasn't crazy on that because you asked me, oh, no Martian on your list? And I said, no, man.
I know, I thought you were nuts because the trailer's so good. But I tell you, that movie, the trailer is that movie, but I don't know how they fucked it up.
Well, here's the million-dollar question.
I don't know.
Huh. Interstellar or The Martian?
Well, and I will say this begrudgingly, but Interstellar every day beats The Martian.
I'll go with Martian over Interstellar.
Really? I think you're crazy. First of all, they're both dog shit.
Right, yeah, yeah. We're taking, you know, nothing from nothing is nothing.
I think we should say that. But at least Interstellar, I got some emotion out of, you know. And the action sequences are there, which they just aren't in The Martian.
I know.
I mean, people walk through some fucking wind and they're like, and that's it. I'm like, eh.
And that scene reminded me of Red Planet, that movie with Val Kilmer from like 15 years ago.
And I think Damon's better in Interstellar as well.
Yeah, I'll give you that. He's fantastic in Interstellar. I still go Martian just because it's shorter, mercifully.
I don't know if it's merciful, man. It ain't. It's still. It's a slow burn.
Still a punishment. All right, last review for the night. You got Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl. This independent darling won over Sundance. Big splash when it premiered and then did nothing. Just like the other film, Dope, that came out this year. Was this one worth it?
Yeah, I really like this. If you like young adult movies about cancerous kids.
Well, you liked Fault in Our Stars,
which they make a lot
fair.
Of them. Yeah, so. But this doesn't compare to that. I mean, that movie, Fault in Our Stars, to me, was kind of that was a real surprise of how good that was. And this kind of falls in line with that. It's not as good, but it is still very good. The me in this, the main character, is a fucked up kid. Earl's fucked up and the dying girl's fucked up. So it's an interesting movie to see those dynamics and how they play out. But it is what it is. I don't know. It got me mainly because I bought into the lie. I don't know if you watch the movie. I don't want to ruin it. But if you do watch the movie, I kind of bought into the lie because of the way they set it up. And so I, dare I say, they did pull the rug out from under me a little bit. But I did it to myself. So
now, is it too precious? That's what the trailer looked like.
No, actually, it's not. And it's it doesn't really focus too much on the movie making side of things. That's just something that they do. The trailer made it feel like this really was all about making movies.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, it's not. You know, as a matter of fact, that's hardly in it at all. It's here and there. It's peppered throughout. And the movie that they're making for this girl, they really fail at it. And he really puts it off for a long time throughout it. I mean, the kid's just an asshole. But so is Earl and the dying girl. Everyone's an asshole in this.
Sounded pretty good now.
Yeah, it was surprisingly better, mainly because, as you say, you know, it wasn't it wasn't too sweet on itself. It wasn't trying to be anything more than just a story about a kid, kind of an outcast, was learning how to, you know, be transparent and blend in and with any crowd, and how he deals with, you know, finally having a relationship that, or two relationships that actually matter.
That film, along with Dope, which is currently on Netflix, got great reviews out of Sundance, and both failed to connect with audiences in their theatrical release. Maybe they'll really find their audiences on this new platforms where everyone's getting them here at home. I do intend to check out both of them, so I'll get back to you on this one. But I just thought, you know, from the trailer, oh, God, another movie where these kids, another independent film about young independent filmmakers. I just thought, I can't do this again, you know. But maybe that's the reason it didn't do all that well, because that's not really what it's about. That's how they sold it, and people went there, and the ones that wanted to see that and didn't even get that. So we'll see what's up. But, hey, you got some positive recommendations for Mom's Night Out, Alexander. In Fire City, you were on the fence, but then you went negative on The Martian and The Walk. So,
yeah.
And I was down on The Witch, but you had some surprisingly positive ones.
You went down on The Witch.
Yeah, a couple times.
That's dangerous, man.
I know. I'll send you to the clinic the next day if you have to. Like I said, they got an ointment for that, too. So, what's your streaming online pick of the week?
So, I'm going to go ahead and throw out Love, which is the new Judd Apatow show on Netflix, 10 episode arc. It was really surprisingly good, and it's very Judd Apatow, even though it's not directed by him, but still, I don't know, very good. Felt very 80s in its, well, you know, it's Judd Apatow, you know, him, both him and Sandler have a very kind of an older style to them. And everything from the opening credits, which is all hand animated little things, and the rock type music, just feels very 80s. I don't know. I loved it.
Sounds like a Better Off Dead or One Crazy Summer.
Kind of very similar to those. And just as crazy. I mean, Gus, or played by Paul Rust, who's also co-creator on this, guest writing, is kind of a weird. Just a weird little guy, well, a weird little dude, as the girl on this calls him, and he gets into all sorts of trouble, you know. And Gillian Jacobs is great, and she gets into all sorts of trouble, you know. And they're kind of perfect for each other. The interesting thing about this is that it keeps them apart as much as possible. So much so there are many episodes where they don't even really hardly interact. But they kind of go on their own adventures, and I thought that was interesting. Something that you don't normally see for a movie called Love, where your two main characters are kind of supposed to be falling in love.
Well, I have two online streaming picks. One is Fire City, which is available on Amazon Prime. I want to know what you guys think out there. And also, Sharknado, Into the Heart of Sharkness. Have you seen this yet, this mockumentary they did?
No.
They did a mockumentary on the making of Sharknado, and it is mildly amusing, especially...
Where'd you find this?
This is available on Amazon Prime. So check it out if you're out there. Heart of Sharkness, not to be confused with the Heart of Darkness or anything else that's good.
This is clear. Yeah, this is... It's all made up.
Yeah, it's a mockumentary. Yeah. It's a fake documentary about the making of the movie. How the guy goes out there and recruits real sharks to be in it and everything, so...
But it's a real... But it's from Asylum.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. It's part of their canon. I think it was released initially as part, like, to go along with that, but it's just now coming out. I don't know how, but I saw on Instant Watcher they had a thing for it, and I clicked on it.
So that's how you find most of your
movies. Didn't watch it on Amazon Prime, to be honest with you. I found alternative ways to watch it, but it is available there.
Exactly.
Gotta love the internet.
You're just an alternative kind of guy.
Hey, let's not get crazy now. All right, let's talk about... Where's the captain?
Let's do some trailers.
Yeah, Captain.
Trailers can be wondrous things, giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for Trailer Addict.
Okay, we're prepared.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Let's do this shit.
Permission to come aboard?
Let's do it. Permission denied.
Oh, goodness.
Damn. All right.
First trailer. Get a job.
First trailer.
Get a job, you fucking bum. This is a long delayed movie with Miles Teller, Anna Kendrick, and this looks about as mediocre as it comes. Why is this coming out in the theaters?
Yeah, right. This looks like a classic Miles Teller movie.
Right?
I mean, can this dude get a movie that's halfway interesting ever? Even his superhero movies are bad.
Whiplash is great.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't get Miles Teller. So I don't get this movie. Anna Kendrick's great, but I don't know about this movie.
This movie looked B-scale all the way. It kind of reminded me of that one with Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman, talking about your two big stars there. was that one? No Strings Attached?
No Strings Attached, yeah.
Reminded me of that one. I don't think Kutcher's played a cop, so maybe he did win. Like I said, that just goes to show you if Ashton Kutcher hasn't played. No, those are just B-movie stars.
Those are just B-movie stars?
Kutcher? B-movie star. I mean, come on. What's next? Lorenzo Lamas?
What about Justin Timberlake?
He played a cop in Time.
No, he wasn't a cop in that, was he?
Yeah, something like that.
No, he wasn't. He was one of the rich people, I thought.
You were calling Justin Timberlake his movie star? I'm talking your Mark Wahlbergs. I'm talking, you know what
Mark
I mean?
Mark Wahlberg? Are you kidding me?
I'm talking like major.
That's a star. That's a major movie star. Mark Wahlberg.
Fucking right. He's been in a movie that made $1 billion.
Oh, please. Natalie Portman. Then why? How can you knock Natalie Portman?
Because nobody saw it because of Natalie Portman. I'll give you the Natalie Portman one. I will give you that caveat. That's it.
But I don't get Justin Timberlake. Do I get Mila Kunis?
I want Mila Kunis.
No, I asked if I got her.
No, Mila Kunis.
All right. Get a job. So we're saying Miles Teller, get a job.
Miles Teller, make better career choices.
Get a job. All right, what's next?
Hardcore Henry, the point of view, all shot from, you know, gamer's perspective, or as my buddy said, the Halo angle.
All first person, yeah.
First person movie here. Trailer interesting to me, but this reminded me of Crank in that it's a gimmick movie, and gimmick movies typically suck. And I don't know how long I could go along with this gimmick.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the YouTube videos of first-person action stuff they've done. They're really fun, really cool to watch. They're great for, like, YouTube-length stuff. And this is a wonderful trailer, but then you start thinking, as you said, you know, could you imagine watching an entire feature-length movie this way? I don't know. And the story really doesn't look that good. It doesn't look that entertaining.
I mean, didn't you think that even Crank ran thin?
Yeah, Crank is dog shit, both of them.
Well, that's true. Well said, sir. Glad
they're horrible. I mean, the fucking sex scene in that thing is like just ridiculous.
It's an embarrassment to everybody involved.
Oh, it's horrible. Amy Smart should know better.
Let's move on and talk about Bastille Day.
Bastille Day.
I don't know what the fuck this movie was.
No, this is I thought this was Idris Elba's like bid to be James Bond, right? He's like, okay, I'll do this movie just because it makes me look like I could be James Bond.
I mean, this is, I don't know what the fuck this is. This is like some foreign shit that escaped and they're showing us. Like when Robert De Niro showed up in Ronin and you're like, oh, you didn't realize it was a foreign movie when you signed on for this, did you?
Yeah, so this takes place in France.
On Bastille Day.
On Bastille Day. And Idris Elba is actually a CIA agent. And this Richard Madden?
Is this the guy from Mr. Robot?
No, this is the guy from, he's from Game of Thrones. Regardless, I mean, Idris Elba does look badass in moments. But the movie's kind of cheap looking.
He needs someone like Luc Besson to come around and show him how to do shit right.
Yeah, this would have been possibly a better movie, actually. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure, but at least a better trailer, because this trailer is confused. It's got all over the place.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Let's go on.
Another trailer that's very, very confused is Criminal. Kevin Costner, Ryan Reynolds, body switch movie.
And again,
extremely confused trailer. This had a stellar cast. Tommy Lee Jones, Kevin Costner, Gary Oldman, Ryan Reynolds. And this trailer gets way too serious, though.
Ryan Reynolds is probably barely in this, and everyone else is 100.
But why does this get so serious?
I actually really love that about this movie, because this movie starts off and you think, my God, another fucking movie where he's like
a CIA,
he's cold CIA guy, and they're gonna, and he, yeah, and they've done this mind thing to him, and now they're gonna unlock his mind, and he's gonna be somebody else. When they start playing into the whole idea that he's, you know, really still this criminal with this other guy's memories, and I thought that's when it got interesting.
I love Kevin Costner. I mean, I think I told you I want to do a retrospective podcast just on Kevin Costner. I venture to say he might be the greatest American actor of my generation. I can't think of you can't think of a bad Kevin Costner movie. And if you can, there's so far and few between that I would venture to say that he's got fewer
and
bad
if you can
than any other star out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's always good even in the bad ones.
Right.
Magnificent
career.
The War I was never really a fan of, but
right. I mean, that's one.
But he's still good in it. You know, he's still Kevin Costner in every one, so.
A lot of them are flawed, but he's still really good in most of them, and they're all watchable even to this day. Even Waterworld gets a bad rap. Gets a bad rap.
Well, but I mean, yeah, but you can see why.
But it gets a bad rap. All right, what else we got here? Colonia. This looks interesting. Emma Watson going out and running away from some sort of revolutionary behavior and hiding in a colony for nuns. Doesn't say what time period this is. Looks like a 1950s or 1960s. And this looks pretty intense. Now, I was fooled by the trailer for The Witch. I think I could be fooled again here. But as judging from this, pretty intense, and I want to see it.
Right. This is based on the true place, right? A cult place called Colonia Dignidad or something. I don't know. This is in Chile.
I did not know about that.
Yeah, it's a real place. After World War II, the German guys went over there and established this thing. And there was a whole thing about them like being child molesters and stuff. And I guess the plot of this movie is that her boyfriend has gone into this cult, and she goes in after him.
Ah, I like it even more now, because that trailer didn't take really
tell me that. And it's based, you know, I know that was one thing I was interested in, to see the trailer. Totally. Although that's in the trailer. If you know
it
that,
is now.
You can
yeah,
see
yeah.
it. Yeah.
You must have read the synopsis separately.
I did. I read about this movie before. But I don't know. The buzz on this movie has been really, really pretty poor. They've said mainly it's too big, you know, for the reality of it. Because this is all based on real stuff to a point. I don't think that anyone went in after their boyfriend, but this place did exist. It did crumble. It was insane, you know, like Manson, insane. Like the dude that ran it was like this crazy German dude, you know, and after World War II. So it gives you an idea. Nazis, you know, these people were a little crazy.
Yeah, times were changing.
But yeah, I guess it goes too big. And it does kind of look like it goes a little big there at the end, even of the trailer.
Intriguing choice, though, for Watson, who continues to do interesting work, much like Kristen Stewart shunned her fame after her franchise ended and delved into these small independent movies, although mm-hmm. she's eminently more likable than Kristen Stewart, I think.
Yeah.
Well. All right, next we got the teaser for Peach Dragon, which caused quite a stir, and I didn't really see why. This trailer looks just like The Jungle Book to me.
It looks worse than The Jungle Book.
And I never took to the original Peach Dragon. Did you like the original one?
Yeah, you know, I watched it. It was as good as any other, you know, live action cartoon stuff that they were doing at the time.
I just thought it was slow moving as a kid. Really, really slow.
It is. And I don't really see how it translates into this. I mean, I'm a little confused as to what this is trying to be.
This looks inspired by Jurassic Park quite a bit, don't you think?
Yeah. And I mean, what is the drag? Where's the story in this? This trailer is a teaser trailer, because I'm still very confused as to where this becomes an actual story. I mean, so far we know there's a kid and a dragon.
With the very Jungle Book story of him lost in the forest.
Yeah, he's out there in the forest, gets raised by the dragon. Or, he's out there for like 8 weeks or something. I don't know.
No, 6 years.
What was it, 6 years? And then the dragon helps him. But, you know, I mean, I thought the dragon was invisible. And, I mean, the cartoon is invisible, right?
I think I'm a Puff the Magic Dragon.
Is that Puff the Magic Dragon?
Because that motherfucker lived by the sea. That's all I know.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Pete's dragon was invisible, and then he became visible, you know, which I always thought was just the way so they didn't have to draw him.
Yeah, right. I think you might be right.
But, yeah, so I'm not sure how this translates, as well as the Jungle Book and stuff. You know, I'm a little bit tired of taking things that are meant, that were created in one aspect and just totally making them real, too real, almost. I mean, this is just a dragon movie at this point. Like, how many fucking dragon movies have we had? You know, the dragon movies just aren't good. You know, there's a couple of them that are really good. And then all the other ones are like, fucking, you made a dragon movie. Congratulations.
What's a couple that are really good, in your opinion? I'm just curious.
Well, I do like Dragon Slayer, even though that one's probably. But, I mean, the one that beats them all would have to be Reign of Fire.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, that movie's just fucking awesome.
I would put Dragonheart up there as well.
And Dragonheart would be one, but not the sequels.
No. But yeah, Reign of Fire is slept on. Great movie. All right, let's move on and talk about the comedy in the group. Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, starring Adam Devine and Zac Efron, also Anna Kendrick. This thing looks hilarious. I can't wait to see this. I think this is the kind of movie that is funny in the trailer, but is not giving away all its best bits. There's a lot of jokes to be mined just from the situations that they're saying.
Yeah, I mean, this is a movie where they're going to switch off. I mean, Zac Efron and Adam Devine play brothers who are complete fucking morons, right? And their sister's going to get married. Their parents don't want them to come stag to the wedding because they're going to ruin it, right? They're going to go ape shit crazy, and they're two dumbass brothers, right? They're going to play off each other until it gets out of hand. So they have to get dates for this wedding. And of course,
which
is in Hawaii. And so Aubrey, they go on that Wendy Williams show.
You don't watch her every day at 11.
I don't. And Anna Kendrick and Aubrey Plaza are these two female equals to these guys, right? Crazy bitches who see this as an opportunity to land these guys. I guess they must be rich or something. Obviously, I guess they went on Wendy Williams. They're somebody's. And they show up at the wedding, and these guys think they got, some girls that are going to make them look good, and they, of course, make them look like morons. So, yeah, so lots of comedy here, right? But it definitely, you don't worry about switching off, you know, but maybe even getting off track from the guys and suddenly you're on to the girls. And then, I mean, who's the stars of this movie?
Who cares? It looks hilarious.
Okay.
Honestly, it looks hilarious. I think this.
I mean, I care that there's a movie in here somewhere, and I don't know that it looks that hilarious. There's a lot of funny parts in it, but that kind of shit can get old.
I think that there's a lot of comedy that can be mined from the situations, from the interracial marriage they're setting up, from the fact that these chicks are white trash, that the money, you know, the class wage gap there, all that kind
of
stuff.
But I think we did that in the trailer. I mean, you're just going to expand that same things over and over again.
I think
you need a real story, and I'm interested to see how the actual plot, you know, pans out, especially in following these characters, because you have these four characters who are clearly have, you know, groupings, the sexes, you know, men and the women, and either one of them could be their own movie.
What's kind of interesting here is that Zac Efron has continued to choose comedies, the awkward
because they're the only good things that he's in.
Dirty Grandpa, Baywatch next. I mean,
they're the only shot he has.
Yeah, I mean, good luck on getting a serious career here. He's playing straight man here. He's not even the comedic element. Neighbors. I mean, this is crazy.
No, he's kind of a goof in this.
This
although
good, though.
Anyone next to Adam Devine is going to look like the straight man.
Yeah, I mean, that kid is fucking hilarious. All right, then we have The Purge. This is the third film in the Purge series. It's actually titled Election Year. And it's being dropped in an election year. Purge 3.
I'm down. This looks like it looks more like the second one again than the first one, right? It's going to be more of a dark action movie.
This looked like Olympus Has Fallen or something.
Yeah. But a little, I don't know. Maybe it's a little too straightforward at this point. You know, I don't know. They're bringing back the guy from the second one, and he's basically going to protect
the senator who wants to put an end to the purge.
Yeah, and so a bit straightforward.
Way far away from where we started off here.
Yeah, I know. That's more of a dark action movie. The first one had the elements of horror still with those kids being caught, you know, with the car that broke down. We've completely abandoned that at this point. We're really just a dark action movie.
I thought the second one was great entertainment. I thought it was better than the first one. And this third one, I'm surprised you're being this kind to it. I really was like, wow, we're going this cheap on it? We're just turning this, like you said, into an action movie? That's with kind of zombie. They're not zombies, but they might as well be. There's people trying to break in. So it's, you know, trapped in a small room movie. This is not my idea.
The second one did that too. I mean, this looks to be traversing the same ground the second one did. You have the revolutionary guys who are against it in this as well, right? They're definitely trying to follow. They're trying to wrap this up. They've created some sort of a story in the second one, if you remember. Mm-hmm. And there definitely looks like they're trying to really just focus on that and wrap it up in this third one. So I guess, you know, in that sense, I understand why it is the way that it is, but yeah, you know, it's odd that they turn these Purge movies into a trilogy in the sense that the first one really has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. They stand on its own. The second and third now are tied.
Well, the second would stand on its own, but they did go a little deeper into it. I kind of wish that they had just kind of done like the second one, because you could still have all the elements of the story, you know, and kind of wrap it up and everything. But this feels a bit too plot heavy, right? For what it should be.
It just feels, I know it's hard to say formulaic when you're talking about a movie, a horror movie like that, but it just feels a little too easy.
Well, I don't think it feels formulaic enough for you is what you're saying. Cause you really want this to be more of a horror movie, you know, which is the second one.
The second one reminded me of great Carpenter movie, you know, like a great Escape from New York type movie. Mm-hmm. This is assault from a
priest. This doesn't have that.
This feels more like Olympus Has Fallen or something like that. You might as well get Gerard Butler in here.
Oh boy.
Oh goodness. I know he's free.
Maybe he is in here. You don't know.
What else do we have on the show? Mother's Day.
Mother's Day. Is this the last one?
What do you think?
I think.
Has he got a Mother's Day?
Yeah.
When are they going to stop with this? Is a remake, first of all, of a bad '80s movie.
It is Gary Marshall. Was that one like this too? A bunch of different stories.
No, that's a horror movie.
You're talking.
Yeah, this is obvious.
I didn't even get the joke. I got it now. I got you.
Yeah, there we go.
That took me a second.
This is obviously in the Valentine's Day. Oh God.
I never saw a lot of those. Yeah, Crash, all that shit.
I like Gary Marshall more as a personality than I do his movies. It's strange. I can listen to the guy talk.
He's a funny guy.
I mean, he's like Carl Reiner, Mel Brooks kind of guy.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
I mean?
He's a funny guy. But yeah, I'm a little done with these types of movies. I don't know. It's okay if they hit. Yeah. Well, my problem with these is that they're not really a short collection of films or a collection of short films. They're one long film. That's several long films that are cut up and kind of assimilated into one movie.
Not very artistic.
So I just, yeah, but I normally, when I watch these, I normally think, fuck, you know, eight of these storylines I don't give a shit about. And the one I do care about is, you know, 10 minutes long.
Yeah, well put. And if you like more than one, you're lucky. I thought Valentine's Day worked.
I never saw it, so.
I thought with the cast there, I liked enough of the personalities. I thought it worked for what it was doing. I didn't think the same for New Year's Eve and now Mother's Day, which looks very similar to that and the same kind of idea that exists in the same world. And like you said, you get stuck and they're not like they're clever little shorts. None of these are really have any sort of – if you can't see where these are going, you've probably never seen a movie before. You know, most of these have – if one of them has a trick ending, you're like, oh, that's at least something to see. But I don't know. Gary Marshall.
Yeah.
It's Penny Marshall and Gary Marshall have been behind some big movies, but most of the time it's just shit. I mean, Big was a great movie, A League of Their Own, but my goodness.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while since either.
Talk about an unlikely trilogy. Did you think when Valentine's Day opened it, we'd have like three of these?
Well, kind of, but only in the sense of what that one did.
What's the next Labor Day?
Right.
We had a Labor Day.
They already made that movie.
Oh my god,
that one's actually good, and it's not like
that
these,
is that isn't so. A bad movie. I know that's a Jason Reitman movie. It has nothing to do with this. That's a lot. That movie has a lot more on its mind than anything in this trilogy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird that you would even call this a trilogy.
You know what I mean, though? It's kind of...
No, you're right. I mean, that's the whole point of these, yeah. But isn't it just...
Safe.
Yeah, very safe, very Hallmarky commercial.
It's to win a weekend. When I see this kind of thing, I think, all right, they're looking for a big opening weekend, mm-hmm. a 50% fall off every weekend throughout, and then this is the background of HBO and eventually on a Lifetime channel or something like that. You know, this plays on television for the next 10 years on Mother's Day on TBS somewhere. And that's what it's there for. So there you go.
On TBS. Luckily, you watch TNT, so
Yeah,
safe.
Exactly. Do you remember movies for guys who like movies? Remember all that stuff?
Yeah.
I don't do that kind of shit anymore. Come on.
No, guys don't like movies anymore.
Terrible. I do.
You're the last one.
Well, that's going to wrap up our show for this evening. I want to thank you all for joining us on episode 296. Remind you all that the Oscars are next weekend. Tune in on Sunday, February 28th, to see the live Oscar telecast. And don't forget to root for Sylvester Stallone for Rocky, because you know I'll be doing that. I know you'll be doing that too, huh?
And Matt Damon for The Martian.
That's right. I know you're a big Martian fan. I'm glad that you can see how crazy that is, that that movie was nominated for everything it was nominated for, right? And the outcry that Ridley Scott wasn't nominated was totally justified.
I mean, yeah, I know.
I didn't think that he should have been nominated at all.
I don't know. It does kind of lead a little bit of credence for the, you know, the Oscars too white stuff, though.
Oh.
Which is sad to say, but after watching The Martian, it's like, oh, yeah, guys, come on. Yeah. I got to believe Will Smith was way better in Concussion.
He was.
Yeah,
so was Michael B. Jordan, or the guy who played Eazy-E in Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah, so I don't know.
We'll be back with you next week with the retrospective podcast with Interview with a Vampire. And the week after that, we'll be back with the regular podcast discussing the Oscars and all the other good stuff going on in Hollywood. Thank you guys for joining us. Our past podcast can be found at TalkShoe? TalkShoe, Stitcher.
I like TalkSoup better, though.
So. TalkSoup, it can be found with Craig Kilborn over at TalkSoup, hopefully in the 90s, and get that all situated. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, I'm Jason Rugard, and we got through it tonight on the Movie Mavericks podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to moviemavericks.com, warp 9. Engage!